Blog Talk Radio.
I can't help but when I look at you, nothing but American dreaming. Oh, 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 it's my dream.
And welcome back, America, to Mentoring Monday. I'm Rick Tocchini. Our special guest, brought to you by ForwardWomen.org, is Brenda Bertrand, one of my favorite guests on this show. Brenda, welcome back to Mentoring Monday.
Rick, I think we're all your favorites. Like, just be honest. We're just all your favorites.
No, just you and Kathleen Cook.
Okay, how are you, Rick? I was singing the song, the theme song, while it was going, oh, it's just a fun song.
Oh, well, thank you. And I heard you harmonizing. Thank goodness you weren't flat.
Did you hear me?
Yes. I loved it. It was very good.
I was literally singing with the song, so now I'm used to it.
Brenda, you are one of my favorites, so take that compliment as genuine. For those that haven't heard you before on the show, tell them a little bit about your career journey and how you connected originally with Forward Women.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity. So Forward Women is an incredible national organization that focuses on helping women of faith build their careers and their lives in ways that are authentic and life-giving and meaningful, but also that is life-changing and meaningful for others. So not only are we focused on our faith and career development, but also on being a light wherever we go. So it's really a lot of fun, and we do that through our mentoring, one-on-one mentoring. We have a blog, that's a very active blog. Diane Patterson, our founder and leader of the organization, has a regular post that she does, as well as guests that come in every Wednesday. Goodness, we have events in local groups where you can get together with other like-minded women and discuss issues of faith and career and life. So very active all over the nation, and you can find us at forwardwomen.org, the number 4wordwomen.org. And I was introduced to a friend, Elizabeth Knox, who's an author and consultant out in D.C., and she introduced me to the organization. Now I'm on the advisory board. So having a past history in consulting and business, I transitioned and went to seminary and took all the years of ministry and corporate and government work, and now I just love helping women take leaps of faith in their career and life. So if someone's taking a leap of faith and they need to get unstuck or need the help to do that, especially single career women. I love working with them because of the unique issues they face. I'm at BrendaBertrand.com.
Love it. And Brenda, I know that you said in the pre-show that you wish you knew everything now or 15 years earlier or something to that effect, because you are because you are smarter and wiser now. So I want you to share some of your career mentoring tips this morning for our listening audience so they can grow in their wisdom as well.
All right. So tip number one is act like you are your own boss because you are. Act like you are your own boss because you are. And here's the thing, Rick, how would you show up every day at work if you were in charge, right? So you would dress differently, you would speak differently, you would represent yourself with a certain dignity, you would focus on things you can control, you would look at the greater mission of the organization, you would find solutions to problems, not just talk about them, you would create and innovate, you would strategize and think differently because you would be acting as someone who is the CEO of the company, right? And so I encourage women, I wish someone had told me this in my 30s, I stumbled upon it through mentors, is to act like the boss of you. You are the CEO of you. And that really leads to lots of promotion, probably more opportunities than anyone would want. But when you show up as if you are taking ownership and responsibility, not only of your own career, but of the organization to which you belong, you shine and you radiate in ways that are different from the person next to you. So you are the CEO of you. Act just for one day, act like that company is yours, and you'll see how you'll shift in your mindset, your attitude, and your actions.
I like that. Does that mean that you get to write your own performance appraisal?
It means that you get to think with that performance appraisal in mind. So an employee or someone who's just kind of working or subordinate, they kind of like bump into their performance appraisal. Like, oh, it's that time of year again. Ah, I better figure out what I did this year. But when you're thinking strategically as a CEO of you, that performance appraisal is always online because you're always thinking, how can I improve to make this company better?
I like that. Does that mean that you would be more cost conscious and time conscious of how you're spending your precious resources?
Yeah, I think people become more innovative if they own something. So if I have a car and, you know, I'm putting gas in and I'm, you know, I want it to last longer, I want it to be in its best condition, and it's the same at work. If you act like the CEO, you start to get really innovative because you're wanting the best for the company. You want to save the company time and money, and you also want to save yourself from overexerting when working smarter versus working harder. And so, yeah, you become super innovative when you take ownership of anything, whether it's your body, your space, your life, your relationship, and it's the same in your career.
And maybe you take ownership of your mistakes faster and you make them more visible.
You are preaching now, Rick. You are preaching. It's true. There is this sense of taking responsibility, and a good boss, a good leader, a good supervisor — I don't know if we call people bosses anymore — but a good supervisor, a good CEO takes responsibility for mistakes, and they give the rewards. If something goes well, they give the accolades to others, right? They say, it's my team that did it. If something goes wrong, they say, I'm responsible. And so when you're the CEO of you, you take responsibility for your weaknesses, and you learn from them because you realize that failing is actually growing, you know. So being able to fail and admit that you failed, you won't do it again, that's for sure. You'll do it differently the next time. Thanks for
Love
that.
It.
That's good. You're on fire.
All right, Brenda, what's your number two tip?
Okay, so my number two tip is ask for what you want, period. No ands, ifs, buts about it. If you want a raise, ask for one. Yep, just ask for it. The issue isn't about getting what you want, right? So that's not the issue. That's not what I'm encouraging and saying, that when you ask for it, you're just going to get it. But it's really about developing a muscle that especially women, not to stereotype, but in general, we don't usually ask for what we want. We usually hope that someone will give it to us. So it's about using your voice and stepping up and standing out. If you want to move in the company, ask what it takes and do the work to do it. The way you grow in confidence is by knowing what you want and taking inspired action to it. Do you know that most men — there's a 90% of statistic, 90% of men who are offered a position, and that statistic may be higher now, that number may be higher, they always ask, they always counteroffer. They never take what is offered to them. And that rate for women is way below the 20% mark. So there are times, I mean, this is not a female gender thing, but their studies have shown that women don't often ask for what they want. They hope that someone will see them working, you know, working overtime, and then they'll say, oh, I should give you a raise. It just doesn't work that way in most situations. If you know what you want, ask for it.
Yeah, this notion of developing that muscle is an important one, because inside that muscle is probably some connective tissue to the heart and to your mind and to your self-esteem.
And
how did
you
develop
know,
the muscle?
I start asking for things. anytime I'm offered a I actually did it. You know, whenever I'm offered a position, and this, you know, Rick, let's connect this to our faith perspective. First of all, Jesus is always saying, ask and you shall receive, knock and it'll, you know, there's this concept of, you don't have because you're not asking. And it's not that the good father or a good God doesn't want to give us things, but we're growing a relational muscle by saying, Father, you own everything on a thousand hills. You're not like my prosperity gospel Jesus. I'm not trying to like cash in and, you know, do a little bank ATM. It's more about, I am cared for by this loving God and Abba who loves me. Now, I may ask for $1 million and Abba may not give me $1 million. That's the point. It's not about getting what you want. It's about stretching the relational muscle and stretching in yourself the value in which God says, you are my child and you should never be shy about asking me for what you want. I may have information you don't know and you may get something differently than you asked for. So in the career standpoint, same idea is I am stretching my relational, my interpersonal muscle to say I know my value, and I'm stretching the opportunity to be compensated for my value or to be acknowledged for my value, to be promoted for my value. But it does start, like you said, from a place of who am I, either in relationship to God or in relationship to the work and the value that I bring. And I should not be afraid to say the value I bring is worth this amount, or the value I bring is I need a vacation because I've brought so much value, I need an extra day off. Or the value I bring leads to potentially a promotion or a career switch. So it really does start with knowing your value, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the third point.
And the other thing that just to note on that is that if you're on the other side of that person as their boss, you're not a mind reader, because you may have 10 or 12 other people, and you can't be playing crystal ball all the time of about, well, what does Brenda really want unless Brenda asks for it?
Absolutely.
And so to some extent, you're doing a favor to your boss by being so deliberate and intentional in what you're stating and asking for.
Yeah, and you're being faithful to your call and to your career, because while you're or I'm waiting around trying to have people read a crystal ball, I'm missing opportunities to add more value and to have more influence. And no one is going to care more about your career than you. And if you're not willing to ask to raise up to the value that you offer, then who's going to do that? No one's sitting in a room thinking about your career. You have to be the CEO of you. And knowing your value in God, knowing that you're called to that place, God encourages us to use our voice and to stretch that muscle personally, spiritually, and as well in our professional life.
That's right. And the third and final career tip of the day?
This one's a little interesting. You ready, Rick? It is.
I am.
Arrive early, leave on time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the advice I would give people. Get to work early. Be there. Set your pace. Get your mindset right. You know, pray on your way in. Get your heart and your mind and your plan your day and leave on time. Get things done within the time you have. The rest will get done tomorrow. And the reason why this is important, especially for hardworking type A women, your job is not your life. It sounds cooler to say you're a workaholic than it is to live like one, right? But being workaholic is dysfunctional. It's a disease that you can literally die from. It kills creativity, creates your joy. So just arrive early, as both bosses will, and leave on time and get your work done within the time you have. Now, in some cultures, it's cool to stay late. Whoever stays late gets a little, you know, star on their, you know, proverbial crown. But the reality is a lot of people stay late because they don't know their value and they think they have to prove something by staying later. The reality is if you don't show up to work tomorrow because you had an accident or, God forbid, something happened to you, the work would get done and they'd find someone else. So I want to encourage people. This is really comes back to the value that God places in us and being able to honor and steward that value and steward the time we have. Have a life outside your job. I'm telling you, you are going to remember this, because serving the big person upstairs or the whoever, the big man in the corner office, it may look good from an ego standpoint, but it's not a sustainable lifetime. It's not a livable lifestyle. So I want to encourage people, your job is not your life. Your title is not your identity. Your job is not who you are. Get there early, get organized, get the work done, and have something to go home to. Have a class to go to afterwards, because having a life will make you more valuable at your job.
Without a doubt. And just to confirm and support Brenda's last comment, arrive early, leave on time. Triple H's reported that the average American leaves 6 days untaken vacation every year.
Every year.
Lord have mercy, take your vacation.
Please,
I mean, that's
do. And ask for more days, too. Back to my second point. That's
no kidding.
And Rick, you know, in Japan, there are people who don't take vacation at all, and there's a special term in the Japanese language that's connected to how career exhaustion leads to suicide. There's a high percentage, high suicidal rate, because when you don't care for your soul, you don't care for your body, and your life becomes about the job and the grind, you know, something breaks. Your family breaks, your soul breaks, your prayer life breaks. I can tell you, arrive early, be there when people get there, have your plan together, know what your week looks like, and leave. Have something to go home to, especially single women. Single women, your job is not your life. Get out of there and take your vacation days and do things that nourish your soul and know what that is. Because workaholism is not a good look, as the new generation says. It's not a good look. It's not sexy. Workaholism is worship. It's idol worship. And as Christians, we need to really know when we've done enough and need to have a life outside of our career identity.
Well said, Brenda. I love you for your great advice. Thank you for your wisdom. Look forward to having you back on Mentoring Monday. This show is brought to you by forwardwomen.org. If you want to find a mentor like Brenda, she is one in a million, but you have a pretty good chance if you went to forwardwomen.org of finding someone like her who is as skilled. Can you imagine your life if you didn't have a voice in it to provide you some sisterly and maybe even motherly advice at some point? So thanks again, Brenda. We appreciate you. And we look forward to our next Mentoring Monday. And until then, as we always say, keep talking, but listen more intently and find that mentor. Have a good one.